Today is our anniversary Sunday. Our church's anniversary was actually on Thursday. And I'd just like to say, it is my delight to be your pastor. I realize that for some of you, especially, I am half your age. And yet, you don't call me young whippersnapper. You call me pastor. And I appreciate that so much. It's always a desire of mine to be an encouragement. I never want to discourage you. Sometimes we all need to drink a little castor oil, though, spiritually speaking. Amen? I promise you, if I give you a little castor oil, it's not to discourage you. It's to encourage you. Amen? To keep you in the battle. It's not only my delight to pastor you and my desire to encourage you, but it's my duty to challenge you as a pastor. You ought to want a pastor who will challenge you in your faith. Try to get you to grow. Amen? We've often heard the term pressure. Pressure. I don't like pressure, Pastor. Don't pressure me, Pastor. Well, again, I'm glad for pressure in some areas. I'm glad that when I took a shower this morning that there was something called water pressure. Amen? Some of you have done where there's no water pressure. Amen? No. It's my duty as a pastor to challenge you, to get you to grow for Christ, to grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. 115 years is certainly a milestone. So many churches have passed off the scene just in the lifetime of Loomis Park Baptist Church. And 115 years is truly a momentous occasion. And hopefully, and I say this reverently, I hope we'll all be around for the 120th anniversary and the 125th anniversary. But if the natural course and progression of life takes place, no doubt some of us will not be part of those memories. And by the way, that doesn't just mean the older. There's no guarantee, ladies and gentlemen, that I'll see the 120th or the 125th. But who knows, praise the Lord, maybe none of us will see another anniversary. Amen? The Lord Himself descendeth in the clouds and calls us home. Amen? What a blessing. Marvelous message we bring. Glorious carol we sing. Wonderful word of the King. Jesus is coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Who knows? Amen? As we look at John chapter 4, there are so many sermons that have been preached from this great chapter of the Bible. You see in verse 4, there's the compassion. Jesus, there it says, He must needs go through Samaria. There's a conversation in verses 7 through 26 that takes place between an adulterous woman, a woman that had been married 5 times and was now living with someone who was not their husband, and the Son of God who was pure and free from sin. By the way, there's a great example there. Did Jesus crush her? Did He? No, He didn't. No, He talked to her. He engaged her. And he challenged her. We see the condition. He talks about her condition. We talk about a confrontation. But before there was a confrontation, there was a conversation. And He was long-suffering. And aren't you glad our God is long-suffering with us? I'll tell you, I sure am. The woman at the well was chosen. She was challenged. And she was changed. We could also look at the diversion, the discussion and the devotion. And there's so many other sermons you could preach out of this great, great text. And I'm sure that have been preached through this pulpit over the years. However, tonight I'd like to focus on some seemingly insignificant verses in this story. And I say seemingly because if you know your Bible, you know there are no insignificant verses in the Word of God. God, in no place in the Word of God does He just need to fill space. Amen. No adverbs are in there because God scratched His head and said, gee, I think I ought to put an L-Y so they really understand me. No. Every Word of God was ordained of God and is supposed to be there. Verses 4 through 6 tell us that He must needs go through Samaria. And then he comes to a city of Samaria called Sychar, where Jacob bought a parcel of ground, and it tells us that Jacob's well was there. And there is, just in these verses, there's the love of Christ. He must needs go through for one person. That's the love of Jesus. Someone has said, and I've heard it many times, and so have you, if you were the only one on earth that had ever sinned, Jesus would have still come and died for you. That's how much He loves you. And so we see the love of Christ. We see the contempt of the religious. If you know anything about the history here, it says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Listen, the religious Jew, the Orthodox Jew, would go 80 miles out of their way to avoid Samaria, because the Samaritans were half-breeds. We would call that today, I would call it, even looking at the Bible, simple racism. By the way, I'm glad God loves white people, black people, yellow people, red people, green people, plaid people. He loves people, amen? So we see the contempt of the religious. We see the tomb of Joseph listed here. And what a precious thing. You remember back in Genesis where Joseph said, don't bury me here in Egypt. That's not where I belong. I belong there with my fathers. And as something else we see in verse 6, you see, it says, now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore being wearied from his journey. We see the weariness of deity. Here he is, Jesus Christ in his human body. And you know what? He got tired. He bore all of what we bore to be our great high priest. He knows. But verse 6 is where I want you to focus just on a few words there. The beginning of the verse says, now Jacob's well was there. Jacob's well was there. The first mention of the word well in the Bible, of course, speaking of the instrument, the object, not necessarily being well, is in Genesis 16:14. It says, where the well was called Beer Lehi-Roi, behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered, when God provided for Hagar and Ishmael when she thought she was going to die. And there are several wells that are named. There's this one. There's Beersheba. There's Esek, Sitna, Rehoboth, Beer, Herod's, Sirah, Bethlehem's well. And here Jacob's well is named. It's called Jacob's well. There are some noteworthy characters, not only names of wells, but noteworthy characters that were around wells. We know, of course, Hagar, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they dug wells. Remember the story of Abraham's servant, that he came to a well when he found Rebekah. Laban, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Saul, and of course here Jesus is one of the noteworthy Bible characters around well. Something else about well, not only names of wells and noteworthy characters, nourishment of wells. Wells were to quench thirst. But wells did. Remember when David, when he was in captivity, and he said to his mighty men, in 2 Samuel 23:15, oh, that I could have a drink from Bethlehem's well. He said, oh, I remember that from my youth, that cold, thirst-quenching water, those beautiful springs from Bethlehem's well. Something else, we see the necessity of wells. Water is necessary for the sustaining of physical life. Not long ago, we had Dr. Mike Zachary with us. And wasn't Dr. Zachary a blessing? My goodness, I'll tell you what. I feel bad for you snowbirds. You missed that one, amen. Dr. Zachary was such a blessing. He almost turned that piano upside down. He was playing it so well, amen. And just did a wonderful job even preaching. But Dr. Zachary said about, he'd been here for about a day and a half, and we were out to eat, and he said, preacher, could we stop by the grocery store, Myers, and get some water? And I said, certainly. I said, we'll get that for you. I said, how many do you need? And he told me how he had terrible, terrible stomach pains and would almost just keel over in pain. And I went to a gastrointestinal specialist, and they said, Dr. Zachary, you know, we don't really know what we can do for you, and I guess you're just going to have to live with it. And he went to another doctor and said, drink water. Drink water. And Dr. Zachary said he drinks about 8 to 10 bottles of water a day, and he's never had a problem with that again. Water is necessary to the sustaining of life, especially in Israel here. Water was necessary for the flocks. Remember, The occupation of Jacob's sons were shepherds. That's what they did. It was necessary for crops. And here we have the account in verse 6. It says, now Jacob's well was there. Two people come together at this well. Why? They were thirsty. I don't think they just went to the well to say, hey, how you doing? No, they were thirsty. They were thirsty. And they had come to this well at Sychar, and they knew that there was a well there, and they knew that the water was good to drink, and they knew that their thirst would be quenched here at this well, Jacob's well. On this joyous and historic occasion, our 115th anniversary, I'd like to speak to you on the subject of wells. I'd like to make particular application of the well of Loomis Park Baptist Church. Let me give you number one, the purpose of the well. The purpose of the well. If you would, go back in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26, and we'll be all over Genesis here. You can stay there in Genesis. Genesis chapter 26, in verse number 18. We see the purpose of well here, and we'll talk about it in relation to our church. Look at verse 18 and 19. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. You say, Pastor, I know what the purpose of a well is. It's for quenching thirst. Well, yes, it is, certainly. It's for sustaining life. Yes, it is, certainly. It's for watering flocks and herds. Yes, it is, certainly. But in reality, the purpose of a well is a means to an end. The well is the means of tapping in to the springs of living water and getting those springs from the ground up to be able to do those other things. That's the purpose of a well. You know, the well of Loomis Park Baptist Church has the same purpose. We're to tap into the springs of living water and get them out to do their work. Amen? To get them out to do their work. That is the purpose. And listen, may this house of God and every activity of it always be a means to an end of trying to reach never dying souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the water of life. Amen? That's what it is. That's the purpose of this well on this property. That's the purpose of the well. Just as it was in Jacob's well and the well at Beersheba, this well on this property, it's the purpose is to get into the ground and get that water out, to dwell deep with God and get that water out to people. The purchase or the procurement of the well. Look at Genesis chapter 33. Not only the purpose of a well, but the procurement of the well. It says in John chapter 4, verses 5, that there was the city of Sychar and that parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. Well, you find here in Genesis chapter 33, it gives us the account in verses 18 through 20 of how that happened. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan Aram and pitched his tent before the city, and he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it Elo Elohi Israel. You know, this is different from each church. Each well, the procurement of it takes a different pattern. But I'll tell you one thing it takes every time to procure a well. M-O-N-E-Y. Money. Uh-oh, pastor's going to start preaching on money. These bricks cost money. These beams cost money. Chandeliers cost money. A piano costs money. The heating and air conditioning system, it costs money. Back in this day, the Bible says that Jacob paid 100 pieces of money for this. Can I tell you how precious this ground was to Jacob? Later on, he buried his beloved son, Joseph, the precious son of Jacob. Amen. A type of Christ Joseph was. In Joshua 24:32 tells us, "And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem in the parcel of ground which Jacob bought for the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem." John Phillips, a great Bible expositor, said, "Jacob's well is one of the few places in the Holy Land about which there is no dispute. Joseph's tomb is only 400 yards north of the well." Can I tell you something about the well of Loomis Park Baptist Church? It was produced in phases by the generosity of many people. I appreciate so much the historical documents put together that I've gotten recently, and I'm just going to list a few here. But in each case, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to remember it takes money. You say, "Pastor, are you after our money?" No more than the Chevy dealer is. No more than your insurance man is, except I'm after it for eternal things. Amen. I promise you, my pockets aren't getting lined. Amen. I promise you that. Listen, it's for lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves can't break through and steal. 1895, Mr. and Mrs. Peter Loomis donated the property on East Main Street, East Michigan Ave in Gilbert. By the way, that was money. They donated it for a church to be built. April 14th, 1896, East Main Street Baptist Church building was completed. 1931, a two-story addition was added on. 1932, they bought and used the Whitman Tabernacle. 1961, an inheritance was used to buy the parsonage. 1964 and 65, $24,000 to remodel the Tabernacle Auditorium, $10,000 alone in pews. Money. You know, I'm looking around, folks, and I see things. By the way, I do see things that need to be done. We're going to have our fellowship tonight in our fireside room. That needs to be done. We need to get that floor changed out. Amen. This carpet needs to be replaced. That parking lot needs to be replaced. And you know what it takes every time? Yes, it takes prayer. Yes, it takes sweat. All those things, but it takes money. It takes money. August 11th, after all those renovations were complete, 1965, and I know some of you remember these days very well, the church opposed the opening of a new bar. And to that I say, amen, amen, and amen. If there's two things in this world I'm against, and I'm against a lot of things, amen, I'm against bars and I'm against pornography. You want to talk about two things that destroy souls. And this church opposed the opening of a new bar. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution." And on September 19th, 1965, an arsonist completely destroyed that newly remodeled auditorium. In November of 1965, the church purchased the 42-acre site that we're on for $22,000. $22,000. 1966, the city of Jackson required the church to tear down their burnt-out building at a cost of $11,500. 1967, $228,000 was borrowed to build this building, and so much the more over the years we could keep going. Pews, carpet, tables, buses, barns, tabernacles, ball fields, etc., etc., etc. Exodus 35:5 says, "Take ye from among you an offering of the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart." Willing heart. You know, the tithe is the Lord's, whether you give it or not, but you should give it from a willing heart. Oh, you can rob God. By the way, you won't get far. God keeps perfect records. My wife and I decided a long time ago that we were going to round our tithe up, Brother Sammons, to the fifth dollar, just in case, for some reason, I forgot something. Amen. I know, man, if you tithe to the penny, praise the Lord, and you keep that kind of perfect records, I just know I'm a little forgetful, so I go up a little bit. But listen, we're supposed to be of a willing heart. By the way, you're never going to get a note from me that says, "Brother Merrill, you didn't give your tithe this week. Why didn't you do that? I'm going to come to your house." No, 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 never. Never will. Between you and God. But you know what? The procurement of the well took money. You look around what we have, it just didn't appear, poof. And we just didn't have a billionaire said, oh, I think I'll just build it all for you. No, it was God's people, God's little people. Amen. Giving of a willing heart, the purpose of the well, the procurement of the well, the preparation of the well. The preparation of the well. Let me just read these verses to you. Genesis 21:30, I have digged this well. Genesis 26:15, the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham. Genesis 26:18, Isaac digged again the wells of water which his father's had digged in the days of Abraham. Genesis 26:19, Isaac's servants digged in the valley. Genesis 26:21, and they digged another well. 22, digged another well. 26:25, he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. 26:32, and told him again concerning the well which they had digged. Say, what are you trying to say, Pastor, about the preparation of the well? You know, Jacob's well was surveyed in 1697. Now, just think about when this was built, folks. Thousands of years ago. It measured 105 feet deep, 7.5 feet diameter wide. It was 10 feet deep with masonry, which was cut through solid rock. Jacob's well, as well as the well of Loomis Park Baptist Church, as well as the well of every other gospel preaching church, I'll tell you what it takes. It not only takes money, it takes work. Work. Old-fashioned sweat and labor. I love the pictures of seeing when this building was not here and seeing it go up in stages and phases and seeing this part of the wall done. I've been part of additions, and by the way, you don't ever want me to lay a brick. I can push a broom, I can move a wheelbarrow, but you don't. If you see a crooked brick, that's the one I laid. I promise you, you don't want me doing anything mechanical. But I'll tell you what, work, and I appreciate so much those of you that work. And there are so many precious people that to list them all would be impossible, except one day God will list them all of those that have labored and worked in this ministry. But I think especially of two men. I think of Pastor Pease, who was here for 30 years, 1929 to 1959. And then I think of Pastor Phil Anthony, who was here for 25 years, 1964 to 1989. And I think of each man and woman over the years that has labored in their blood, sweat, and tears, in prayer, labored with a vacuum cleaner, labored by painting or laying carpet or just taking down cobwebs, whatever. They've donated their time and their talent and their treasures and in so many other ways to prepare the well. The well had to be dug, amen. Now you and I are sitting in a well that doesn't have to be dug. It's already been dug. How thankful we ought to be for those that came before us and dug the well. Not only the purpose of the well and the procurement of the well, the preparation of the well, the proving of the well. Back to Genesis 26:19. Genesis 26:19, it says there, and Isaac's servant digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. It says there they found a well of springing water. You know, it was one thing to go to an end of a spring and find some water, and then they had to dig the well down. But after the well was dug, the water still had to prove itself. It could have divided off. It could have been part of a bitter spring. The well had to be proven with good water. Do you know why Jesus and the woman who'd been married 5 times and countless thousands of others came to Jacob's well? Because it was a proven well. They knew there was good water in that well. Can I tell you something about Loomis Park Baptist Church? And you want to talk about preaching to the choir. I feel so inadequate to make this statement because so many of you have been here for so long. The well of Loomis Park Baptist Church has proven itself through the years to be a good well. good water here. Amen? Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein." Hey, just in case you didn't know it, just in case you're new here, Loomis Park Baptist Church is an old-fashioned, independent Baptist church that walks in the old paths, and the reason we do is because you can trust those paths. They're proven. They're proven. The proving of the well. A well had to be proved. A well had to be prepared. A well had to be procured. A well had a purpose. Something especially as your pastor that I think of. Number five, the protection of the well. Look at Genesis 26:18. It's an interesting verse. A strange verse. It says, "And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham." They literally filled in this well. Now, forgive me, but that's pretty stupid. To fill in a well that's dug, why not just take the well by force and call it your own? But they filled it in. Go over just a couple pages to Genesis 29. Look at verses 2 and 3, please. It says, "And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place." Listen, a well, because of its importance and its necessity to sustain life and all the investment that went in to procure it and to prepare it, had to be protected, and many times it was protected by a large stone that went over the top of the mouth, and sometimes, if the owner of the well was wealthy enough, he would actually have armed guards protecting the well. Ladies and gentlemen, I feel that my job as the senior pastor of Loomis Park Baptist Church in 2011, one of my number one jobs is I have to protect this well. Listen, I didn't dig it. I thank God for all the preachers that came before me that dug it. I think of literally how God brought Pastor Anthony to you people, and literally as soon as he got there, that fire came. And I think what I would have done if I'd been in the ministry 8 months and all of a sudden my building was burned to the ground. I don't know. Maybe I would have spiritually put my binky in. I don't know. I would hope not. But thank God for this man who had enough vision to say, "Hey, hey, 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 let's dig a new well." I don't have to dig the well. But I do have to protect the well. That's my job. That's my job. And can I tell you this? Every week of the world, Satan uses the modern Philistines to try to fill in the well of Loomis Park Baptist Church. And sometimes he uses well-meaning, quote-unquote, Christians, carnal Christians at best, if they are Christians. I call them cotton candy Christians. What's a cotton candy? There's no sustenance to it. It's all sugar. It's just fluff. I'm not interested in that kind of Christianity. Amen? I want some substance. And they come with their Christian rap and their Christian rock concerts that they want you to have at their church and their Christian coffee houses. And again, I'm not against coffee. And their Christian comedians. I got an email this week. I'll not give the name because I'm a gentleman. Or I try to be. Blank has a full-time ministry of music and comedy. Most people know him through his association with Mark Lowry and Mark Hall of Casting Crowns, Christian rock band. Blank is going to be in concert in your area on June 19th and has a Friday and Saturday night open. There are many recommendations from pastors such as Charles Stanley, who is not quite what he used to be. Once you review everything, do you think you might could use him on either that Friday or Saturday? Because of his comedy, many churches have packed their places for such on short notice events with many visitors. A church recently had Blank for a concert situation just like this on a Sunday night. They don't even have Sunday night services. They were hoping for 300 and 900 showed up. Therefore, as you can see, this is a very unique opportunity. Please let me know what you think and if you can use blank's ministry. Here's what I replied back. Not interested, can't use you. Thank you. Now, I don't know if it came through like that on the email. Maybe it didn't, as loudly as I would have liked. Not interested, can't use you. Thank you very much. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this old well here was not built on comedy. Amen? It was not built on comedy. It was built on the old-fashioned ways, the old paths, the old-fashioned preaching, the old-fashioned Bible, old-fashioned blood atonement. Amen, amen, and amen. By the way, old is not always good. I'm glad we have indoor plumbing. Especially with the flu. I'm glad we have indoor plumbing. Several other things. I'm glad. I'm glad if you go and have a knee surgery now that they don't have to tear you up like they used to. They can do arthroscopy. Can do incredible things. I remember when my dad had his heart valve replaced. The incredible things that they could do. Thank God for that. But can I say this? While old is not always good, neither is new. And by virtue of the fact that something is new, you know what we need to do? We need to hold it to a higher scrutiny. Because it hasn't been proven. You see, this is why you get into this, and I'm not going to get into politics tonight, but listen, when they came out with this ethanol gas, and everybody said, oh, that's the greatest thing ever, except it caused a food shortage around the world. Anybody remember that? Why? Listen, the old-fashioned gasoline engine is something that proved itself. Amen. It's proved itself. It's proven. And I want to tell you, these Philistines, they come along and they tell us that we need to buy their book and we need to use their new methods and the old way of doing things just doesn't work anymore and nobody can understand this old Bible anyway and nobody wants to come and sing hymns and we need to just loosen up and be all things to all men. But I'm going to tell you something. It's just like the wicked woman at Proverbs that said, stolen waters are sweet. Listen, we don't need your stolen waters. We've got good, clean, pure water right here in this well. Got it. It's here. Listen, like I said to that Christian comedian, keep it! No, thank you. Hey, listen, as long as I'm the pastor of this church, and I hope that's as long as I live, bless God, we're going to use the authorized version. We're going to use old-fashioned singing. And by the way, that doesn't mean lifeless lullabies. I think you know me by now. Amen. I enjoy old-fashioned singing, but it can still have life. Amen. We're going to have personal and ecclesiastical separation. I still believe in personal separation. Christians ought not to go some places. Christians ought not to do some things. Amen. Why? Because you're children of God. Amen. That's old proven path. And by the way, ecclesiastical separation, what's that mean, Pastor? That means we're not yoking up with every crusade that comes to town in quote-unquote the name of Christ. I get these flyers from these quote-unquote rock groups that look like the Beatles, amen? And some of you remember when the Beatles came, oh, the Beatles aren't so bad now. Let me tell you, they were bad then and they're bad now, amen? And now everybody comes looking like them, all shabby. I don't want to have anything to do with that. Nothing. By the way, I still believe in free will missions giving of your own free will. I still believe in good old-fashioned repentance. Repentance, necessary for salvation and necessary for a consistent Christian life. That's why I encourage everyone, as often as possible, hit the altar. It's a great place to repent. The great place. And by the way, if you haven't noticed it by now, I don't know what 'll convince you. We still believe in old-fashioned preaching. Preaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, not comedy, amen, not Christian rock, amen, preaching to save them which believe, 1 Corinthians tells us. Why? Because the well of Loomis Park Baptist Church has been purchased, prepared, and proven. It must be protected. And for me to change would be for me to remove the ancient landmarks which our fathers have set. And for me to change would be to go to the local cemeteries and spit on the graves of the people that laid the cinder blocks here, to go and literally slap Pastor Anthony and slap Pastor Peace. We're not doing it. We're not changing. Listen, this is a good old well and it needs to be protected. And bless God, I'm going to protect it. And I hope you will too. The protection of the well, the proving of the well, preparation of the well, procurement of the well, purpose of the well. Lastly, the pouring out of the well. In Genesis chapter 24, we have the beautiful story of Abraham's servant. He's a type of the Holy Spirit. Literally, Abraham, representing the Father, sends him out to find a bride for his son. And listen, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's encouraging us to become the bride for his son. And if you look over there in Genesis chapter number 24, if my Bible hasn't exploded by now, I don't know if it has or not, if I blew up the binding, I got to find something else to pound on up here. I need a fist pumper or something. Amen. It's all right for a preacher to get excited once in a while. Amen. Good night. Some guys, I think if they got excited, they'd have a heart attack and half their congregation would have one too. Amen. Genesis 24, look at verse 12. And notice here the specific prayer of Abraham's servant. And by the way, I believe in prayer, and general prayer is fine, but specific prayer proves God. When you pray specifically and God answers specifically, that proves God. Look at verse 12. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come to draw out water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness to my master. And those of you that know your Bible, you know what happened. Along came Rebecca and perfectly answered that prayer. But there's an application I want us to see in this passage. Yes, there is good, clean, pure, well, drinkable water in the well of Loomis Park Baptist Church. But it needs to be drawn out. It needs to be poured out. You see, it doesn't do us any good, folks, if we just stand around the well in fellowship. That's okay. That's what we do each week, amen? We come to the well and we have fellowship. But what we need to do is we need to let down our buckets, spiritually speaking. And we need to move away from the well and take that good water to thirsty people who need it. And that's all around us. That's Jackson. That's Rives. Amen. That's Leslie. That's Tecumseh. That's Adrian. As far down as you could say. Listen, Grass Lake, they need thirst. Why? Because Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I want to just tell you, logic would tell you that that's not just the preacher's job. Because you know what? I can only carry one bucket. That's all I can carry. But imagine if we had 200 people carrying buckets. You know how you can carry buckets? You know how you can carry buckets? Have a word from the Lord. When somebody says to you, how you doing today? Praise the Lord, I'm saved. But I usually have something funny to say. Somebody say, how you doing today? So, have to be twins to be any better. You know? Just something like that. Boy, everything's going my way. And so somebody say, wow, you sure seem happy today. That's right, I am happy. You know why? I know where I'm going when I die. You see, that's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. That's the idea, the importance of the pouring out of the well. Listen, I don't want us to just be a social club that hangs out at the well. Listen, I love the well. And I love coming here, and I love fellowshipping with you, and we edify one another. Iron sharpeneth iron, so does a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. But what do we need to be doing? We need to be taking the water out to those that need it. There are people all around us that are spiritually dying of thirst. Oh, I understand. They don't know they are, but they are. And you know what they need? They need some of that good old-fashioned proven water. At our church in Holyoke, they told our pastor, Pastor Tharp, many of you met him for our revival. The church is literally, it's cut out of a rock, literally. Where it is, all shale and cliff, and literally on the side of a mountain. And so they told him right away, it's right next to a major highway, and they got a ton of salt runoff off the highway, and they said, you can go ahead and dig that well, but it's not going to perk. Well, it did. It perked. And to this day, if I go there, and I'm at Mountain View Baptist Church, I bring an empty bottle of water with me, Brother Jeff, because the water is so good that just to run their water fountain for it, and sometimes I come with jugs because the water is so good. But you know what? We can't just keep it for ourselves. We need to take it out to other people. Take it out. You know what happens to a church that just keeps their water to themselves, even though they've got the best water you could ever have? You know what happens to it? Eventually it dies. It has to. It's a natural progression of life. But if we pour out water to thirsty people and they come and they tell others to come, like the woman at the well, remember Jesus said, listen, if you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I will give to you, you'll never thirst. And the Bible says she went right into town and started talking to all the men of the city. And why did she do that? Because she knew those men and they knew who she was. Amen. And she said, come see a man that told me all that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And the Bible says many of them believed on him because of the saying of the woman. But then many believed on him because they heard him with their own ears. They took a drink for themselves. Listen, I'm glad for the well we have. It's a good well. Amen. And I want to say thank you. I mentioned Pastor Pease and Pastor Anthony, but listen, thank you to your church members with 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 years here. You're part of that well. I hope you know that. Yes, your preacher's young, and yes, he's zealous, and yes, he makes mistakes, but I hope you know that he believes that he's been appointed the divine protector of this well. Many of you come to me, and we've seen other churches. Listen, that the well's been poisoned. Been poisoned by modern methods. Been poisoned by this modern thinking that we don't need preaching, we don't need the Bible anymore. Listen, that well pretty soon will dry up. And it's sad that that would ever happen. Listen, I hope and I covenant before God that that wouldn't happen under my watch here. But you know what? Whether I protect the well or not, if we don't pour the well out to other people, it doesn't really matter if I protect the well. I'm going to. But we need to be pouring the well out to other people. We need to let down our buckets and bring it out to a thirsty and dying world. The well of Loomis Park Baptist Church. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for this great occasion that brings us together. Help us. Help us, help us, Lord. We thank you for those that purchased the well. Thank you for those that prepared the well, that did the work to give us the buildings that we're in today. Thank you that the well has proven itself to bring forth good water. Oh Lord, help us, help me to protect the well. Lord, and help us to pour out the well, to pour it out to others, to those who need you. Lord, help us to know that to procure the well, it took money, and it still takes money to keep this ministry going. Lord, it also takes work. It took work to raise these walls, and it takes work to keep this facility clean and maintain it, and all the other things, Lord. Lord, help us. Help us to not only protect the well, but to pour it out to those who need you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.